Let's pray together, shall we? Oh God, we ask that you open the eyes of our hearts to receive your word implanted. Because your word is powerful, Lord, to change our lives. It touches both the very marrow of our soul. That we, Lord God, may lead a life pleasing to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's no chapter in the New Testament well known as the 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel. And in the last several Sundays, we've been journeying through Luke's Gospel as he tells of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, all the way back from chapter 9, all the way to the end. But in chapter 15, it really is the Gospel of Gospels because it's the essence of what Jesus came to teach us. He teaches three parables of the character and love and mercy that God shows us. There's the parable of the lost sheep, there's the parable of the lost coin, and of course we know the parable of the prodigal son that wandered away and eventually came back and was received into God's mercy. This morning I'd like to focus on the parable of the lost sheep. So verse 1 says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law grumbled, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Notice that it was the tax collectors, it was sinners, it was ordinary people that wanted to come and hear this man out. They realized that there maybe was something missing in their lives, something that the emptiness, the loneliness. Whereas the Pharisee says, we've got all the answers. We are righteous before God. And it was an offense to the Jewish leaders that Jesus would associate with such people. In fact, the Pharisees labeled these people the people of the land, second-class citizens. The Pharisees were forbidden to even associate with such people, to have any business dealings with them, to avoid any contact with them, because they didn't observe the petty details of the religious rules. To the Pharisees, there will be no joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, but rather joy in heaven over one sinner who's obliterated. You know, if there was ever a group of people that Jesus had disdain for, it was the Pharisees and religious leaders of his day. The ones who eventually killed him. Those who promote their self-righteousness and thought they were better than everyone else. And Jesus says in Luke 11, you are hypocrites, liars, you're whitewashed tombs. You Pharisees clean the outside of the cup, but the inside is full of greed and wickedness. They purport to be clean on the outside and put on a good show, but inside they're full of rot and filth. Jesus says to them, quoting the proverb, prophet Isaiah, they honor God with their lips, but their hearts, forget this, their hearts are far from me. And you know the grumbling of the Pharisees, it imitates the behavior of the Israelites in the desert. When God was doing all these miraculous things, giving them food, giving them water, in fact, giving them nice meat, filet mignons in the desert, and yet they still complained. They did not believe. See, the Bible makes it clear in Isaiah 53, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way. And you know, sheep are basically dumb. They follow wherever the grass is greener. They wander off for no reason at all. Our tendency, too, is to wander off into sin. To parade our own self-righteousness like the Pharisees, forgetting God and going up our own way. And many times we put on a good appearance outwardly, too. Even non-Christians appear to be nice, but yet it's the secret sins within us that trouble and perplex us most. It's the inside of us that needs to be cleaned. The wicked thoughts, the unspoken jealousies, the unexpressed anger, the secret and ungodly desires that plague us and cause us to stray. And brothers and sisters, sin is the fatal flaw within each and every one of us. It separates us from God. And without a shepherd, sheep become lost and are dead meat. Helpless, defenseless, vulnerable to the wild beasts, they're lost. And we also, without something outside of us to change us and claim us, we are also lost. Like sheep are unable to defend themselves, we're unable to fight back against the reality of our sin and the soon coming judgment of God. We don't have perfection. We can't defend ourselves before the holiness of God. I'm amazed sometimes at how many people in their arrogance, I think of the one actor that says, well, yeah, when I meet God, I'm going to tell him, you got some explaining to do. Really? I don't want to watch that. Whereas the prophet Isaiah, when he was before the presence of God, he said, woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips. So Jesus tells this parable about this one sheep. The shepherd leaves 99 to go look for the one lost one. Now come on, it doesn't make sense to leave 99 and look for one. After all, it's only one sheep. I mean, why? It made more sense to stay with the 99 rather than go trampling around the wilderness looking for one silly sheep who repeatedly wanders off. It's like, just forget it. Let it die. But no. Jesus says, he comes and he goes and the shepherd looks for this lost sheep. Now, what does Jesus teach us in this parable about the nature and character of God? It teaches us the immense love God has for us as sinners. 1 Peter 3 says, and listen to this, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He shows us that our God is merciful, and there are no bounds to his love for you and for me. The Bible says that our God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Hebrew word is chesed, meaning faithful love that will always be there for you. In our Old Testament reading this morning, God promises to bring the Israelites back from exile and dispersion because they were scattered over the whole in Babylon. And notice what it says here, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered. So I will seek out my sheep and I will rescue them from all places where they've been scattered on that day of clouds and thick darkness. Jesus shows us his relentless love in pursuing you and me whenever we fall into sin. It teaches us that he's relentless in calling us back. He doesn't stop looking for you. Jesus came to wash away your sins, all your sins, the sins others can see and the sins that only God knows. Look at our St. Paul in our epistle lesson this morning. Think he was a great guy, a holy saint? No, he says, formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent. He actually killed Christians. He was on the march until God finally found him and changed him. He says, listen to this, but I received mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. But the grace of our Lord overflowed for me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. You see, in your baptism, God claimed you as his very own. When those waters were poured over you, he created faith in you. He gave you the Holy Spirit. And he continually pursued, in that baptism, he pursues you daily with his love. That was not just a one-time event at that font, but that is an everyday God coming to you. And you may have walked away, ignored God, followed the ways of the devil, yet God continues to come after you, to find you, to bring you back into relationship with him. See, his parable tells us that God finds us. We don't find God. I hear many people sometimes will say, well, I gave my life to Christ. Well, who are you to give your life to Christ? God found you. God came to you. You did nothing. The sheep didn't come back to the 99. The shepherd came and picked it up and put it around his shoulders and brought it back. And when the shepherd finds the lost sheep, he rejoices and he goes to the rest, brings it back to the rest of the flock and calls the neighbors and friends, rejoice with me because I found the sheep which was lost. This parable also tells us that being found is equated with repentance. The parable of the lost sheep sets out a radically new understanding of repentance. Repentance is being found by God, not something that we do or we work or perform or how much I need to take 10 steps to change my life. The sheep is found, picked up, and put on the shoulders of the shepherd. It's pure grace and mercy. Nothing that we do. Repentance is totally the work of God as he claims us and washes us clean from sin. It's by the work of the Holy Spirit that we can say Jesus is Lord. You know, God finds us here this morning in the hearing of his word. God finds us and brings us back when we come to this table to partake of his body and his blood, that we are connected again with Christ. This is the kind of love that led God's Son to leave the safety of heaven and the oneness with the Trinity, to become like one of us, to suffer and die on a cross as a perfect sacrifice to God, in order to take your sin upon himself. He risked everything and rose from the dead so that you can be right with God. You can be found. Jesus concludes his parable with the shepherd saying, I'm so happy I found the sheep. Let's celebrate. Let's have a party. There's great rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who is found. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. When the lost are found, and there is great rejoicing when one sinner repents and responds to the love and care of the shepherd, there's great rejoicing in heaven. And brothers and sisters, that's one of the reasons we're here, is to call people to repentance, for ourselves to continually, every day, live in repentance and faith. But you know, a question needs to be asked in view of this parable. Now that Jesus finds us and is passionate about us and relentlessly pursues you and me each day, how passionate are we about seeking out the lost and returning them to safety by the grace of their shepherd? You see, God has placed us here to share the gospel, to be his witnesses. Do we have the passion of the shepherd to seek out the lost, to continually pray for those that you work with, or those in your family who are lost, or those in trouble and sickness or sin
or whatever causes them to be separated or run away from their shepherd. See, God's love and mercy are to be shared. His comfort soothes, forgives, reassures, and values each and every one of us. And he comes to find us and give us new life. That's good news. As God's grace relentlessly pursues you and seeks you through the blood of his Son to restore you back to God, may we also have the same passion for those that are lost. Amen.